you my picture, just to see what it felt like. A digital fixture in a world that seems so lifelike. So I type the way I feel inside that makes me wanna fight. And I try to not mistake love with anything that might feel like hype. A roll of the dice.
Welcome back to Dating Games, the Modern Relationships Podcast, and one of our surprise host episodes. The format for these now is they happen when they happen. And actually that feels, I think, appropriate, right? Because we never know when there's going to be updates. And the last thing we want to do is, oh, I have to have a date because an episode's coming up.
Like, we need content. So let me hurt a human in order to...
Yeah, that's not the ethics we're going for on this pod, particularly.
Not anymore.
Yeah, we're changing. We're growing up. Yeah, particularly when I am still on my break from dating. I actually was thinking about it earlier and I was like, you know, a way to express how single I am right now is I have been listening to a track called Die Alone, which is surprisingly upbeat, or maybe that's just my experience of it, by this new artist called Baby Queen. And I've been listening to that on repeat. 4 days. And it's not even the repeat button. It's worse. It's every time we get to the end is me taking my phone out and putting it back and starting all over. So yeah, that's where I'm at. That's how single I am.
Okay, I will be definitely listening to the song afterwards just to check on your mental health.
But no, it's a fun time.
I mean, honestly, being single is such a fun time. You get to redefine everything if you want to. Mm-hmm. And you get to like rethink into exactly who you are. And that's always a good moment too. I don't know. I was reading this thing the other day and it was basically don't shy away from sadness. And it's because sadness teaches you different things that happiness could never.
Okay.
And basically like it's a push and a pull as much as, you know, as happy as you are, that's as sad as you're going to get as well, because it's just an equilibrium thing. So, you know, to understand a deeper happiness, you have to understand a deeper sadness.
There you go.
And I'm just like...
My depression was justified all along.
It was honestly...
Ahead of the game.
These low people, like, no, they're expected. They're on purpose. I need these points to slow down. At least that's what I'm telling myself lately. So I think it's good. I'm like a little bit jealous in a way. I'm definitely in a relationship and in the stages of like compromise and all of those fun terms. So don't be too jealous.
I'll try not. I'll try and survive the jealousy. But no, like as flippant as I can be about it, the perks are there. You know, if I want to go for food, I'm always going to say yes to myself asking if we want to go for food. Like, I'm a consistent date of one.
We always get ice cream when I go.
Yeah. I always choose the best restaurants. Just saying.
Right?
It's always somewhere I like.
Always the best. Yeah. I mean, honestly, Em and I went on our first trip together and it was 10 days. And you learn a lot about a person. I really missed traveling alone, and it's not like any knock on her. It's more my personality, and I'm such a people pleaser that I just do everything everyone else wants to do. And then when I lay my head down at night, I'm like, did I do anything that I actually liked today? Would I have done any of these things on my own? So I don't know. There's part of me that really thinks traveling alone is the best way.
Yeah. There is a simplicity to it. I have the opposite version of that where I know I'm stressful to travel with. It's better off for other people. And I don't find myself stressful to travel with because certain things, like if I'm flying out of Dublin, I know the airport so well. You know, I've been coming through this airport my whole fucking life. And so I will arrive 15 minutes before we fly. And that is plenty of time. I'll still be sat at the gate for 10, 15 minutes more than I want to be. Nearly everyone I know would find that incredibly stressful. But I have a system, I know what's happening, and I know my risk. You know, if I miss the flight, it's only ever happened once, and that time wasn't even my fault, and it wasn't even from this airport. So I'm just like, yeah, I'll survive.
Yeah, I love that. I'm the same kind of traveler. I'm also not like a super particular traveler, and my partner is an ultra particular traveler. And so that was like a lot of, I think, my people pleasing personality felt very responsible if she didn't love everything, mm-hmm. if that makes sense, as if my responsibility at all. But learning those different things of like being single or being in a relationship, how different those two experiences are.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, you know, letting go of maybe some of those expectations, right? Because I do enjoy traveling. What I don't enjoy is when that involves a flight. I am a perfectly proficient and efficient flyer. That does not mean I like being on a plane. Not even scared of it. It just, it's too loud. It's very cramped. I'm a tall guy. There's all the waiting around to take off and land, you know, whereas like if I take a train somewhere, I hop on 2 minutes before we depart and that's me. You know, there's no going through security.
That's why people say you have to travel together, is because it's basically like, it's me at my worst at the airport. I don't think there's another place on the planet I think could be in a worse mood or just not my best self. So you need to see your partner in those moments to see how they handle it and handle you, frankly.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. But then maybe that's the other side of it as well, right? That you know that about yourself. So then if she's not having fun at the airport, that's not your problem. So universal experience.
I know. Everyone hates the airport.
They're all on their worst behavior at the airport.
Yeah. I mean, I am. Where are you on your worst behavior besides the airport?
Now, let's see. I don't know. I can just be a bit of a grouch sometimes. I tell you what, I don't like theme parks. Don't understand the appeal. Paying to be scared. For what? I will sit and eat cotton candy. And that is all I want to do. I will go on one water ride because I rush.
Is it the same thing with haunted houses?
Oh, yeah. Fuck that. I love Halloween, but that's because I'm the spooky bitch. I don't want to be chased by someone with a fake knife. I don't want to punch an actor on impulse and then be liable.
Yeah, I did kick someone out of a haunted house one time and I was not allowed back, so...
It's a risk. No, I think it happens all the time. And these are like struggling actors that don't want to be there either.
Honestly, you need the story for when they're interviewed by Oprah. And so I do not feel bad for them. Everyone has to pay their due.
There you go. You're out here being somebody's original trauma and they should be grateful.
They should be grateful for my kick, you know?
Sure. All right. So what else do we need to put to right? So haunted houses, they can be kicked. That's them sorted. We're going to talk about dating apps because they come up on the show all the time. I think collectively people are increasingly sick of them.
Oh, I think they are. But also, what is the other option? I think because of them, people hitting on each other in public is just, wow, the ratio is low.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. But I have to believe that there's other options. Like I interviewed a couple the other day that ran speed dating events and I went along to the event. I was an observer. I sat in the corner and made notes on my phone.
Oh my God, I'm so jealous. What were your notes?
It was fascinating. Well, just like a lot of my observations, which I talk about in the episode, like the first thing I noticed was when everyone turned up. So it was... only like heterosexual dating in this particular event. And despite that, when everyone was arriving and kind of getting checked in, all the men clustered together for pints, all the women clustered together for gossip and cocktails. And I was just watching this and be like, this is not what any of yous are here for. Mingle.
Middle school. Yeah.
Yeah. And
or
so.
You would think like. If there was just one brave bear, they would clean up.
Oh, no, for real. Like there was one guy that I did see go and sit. So the women had their tables assigned and then the tables were all numbered. And then every time a bell would ring every 4 minutes, once the event kicked off, the men would all have to rotate to the next table. Yeah. So like whilst the mingling beforehand was happening, like the women were mostly sat at their tables and this guy went and sat between two of them. And so had probably 40 minutes of chat before anyone did.
Smart. That
yeah, make
is
the
a
most
smart
of it.
Man.
€33 a ticket. You got to make the most of it.
Who is not like flattered when someone comes up to them and just wants to talk to them? Everyone's flattered by that. So it's like almost a no-lose situation, unless the person's an asshole. And then you quickly figure that out too. That's okay.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I think this is an environment that really helps undo what you described of dating apps. because this is a situation where you're explicitly there to approach people of the opposite gender in a pub situation. Like, that's what the place has been hired out for. And so,
yeah,
I think you have to bite the bullet.
And like, I want to be head on.
Yeah, but then you do that politely and you read the signals and you act accordingly. And I think, you know, it's good practice. They were talking about people that come to more than one event. They nearly always notice a difference. They notice them being more confident, more forward, more chatty. So maybe that's the stuff we're not learning because we're too busy swiping. Look, I know I'm guilty of it. I approach people maybe more than a lot of guys, but even still, there's the other side of me that's like, why would people not come and hit on me more? Where's my equivalent out in the world? And I get to sit here and be pretty.
I think that all the time. I'm like, what's wrong with people? Like, I'm approachable. I am nice. Like, no one ever approaches me in public.
You're so scary.
Crazy.
Too beautiful. Intimidating.
Like, grow up.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, you have a little dog. Just if people are that scared, they can go interact with the dog. I see it happen all the time out in the world. Dog's a great excuse.
Honestly, it was one of the perks of getting a dog, as I knew it would get me more conversation at the park. Okay? I won't lie to you.
Yeah, you pimp her out. Bridget knows what she's for.
I knew what I was doing. She is a...
She knows how to work it.
Who adopted who? Okay, when you are using dating apps, do you have some that you absolutely... Okay, because I think a lot of people are like, oh, okay, so Tinder's for hooking up, and so is Field, and Hinge is more for a relationship. I mean, that's how they advertise themselves. The mm-hmm. app supposed to die or whatever. I think it's less violent than that. Yeah. Do you go along with those, or do you kind of just like pick whatever? Because I've had friends that like have found relationships on Tinder, but you're never going to find me on Tinder.
Yeah. I think that one, if I was to parallel it with social media, to me, that's the Facebook now, where everyone has a profile that they either think they deleted or they've lost the password for, or they don't have the app on their phone anymore. And they don't, you know, maybe that it's still, the profile's still up. So I kind of feel like that where it is, that it's kind of died a death. And I think there would be older people on it still, because if you're just getting into dating apps, maybe you've had a divorce later in life or you're sort of trying different things, then Tinder is the first app most people will go for. I think Hinge is kind of the newer one. It's sort of maybe like, it's established, but it's like Instagram. It's sort of like now considered more of the staple and more the one that people go in with a bit of a strategy and they want to kind of put the effort in. And I think maybe that's part of, yes, the advertising, but also you can't just put up one picture and call it a day. So that sort of extra little bit of commitment maybe infers that this person might be a little bit more serious. Maybe they're not. I don't know. And then Field.
And we don't know.
Yeah. And then Field. I don't even know what the equivalent there is. Somebody might say FetLife, which is a fetish dating website, but it's considered social media. Yeah. But that's kind of, I think, being seen as kind of the new like alt one. And yet I do have friends of mine that use it for, you know, they're looking to meet one partner. Maybe they are open to more than one, but like primarily they're using it in quite a conventional dating app way. But some of the reviews are that it's maybe a little bit more grown up, because if you can have a conversation about open relationships, hopefully you can have a hi, how are you? Nice to match with you conversation. Maybe you have those social skills. Maybe you don't. Not all of them do. It's not a guarantee.
Definitely is not a guarantee.
So yeah, so they're kind of the ones that spring to mind for me as well. There's others, but then, and obviously there's queer dating apps as well. But I think a lot of the others end up getting sorted by, you know, are you in a big city? Do they have the critical mass of enough users? Or are you going to be seeing the same people and very quickly get bored of it?
Yeah, that's so true. It really is dependent on where you're calling in from, if you will.
Have you ever tried the app Her? Because that's one of the big ones for women dating women.
Oh.
And I interviewed the founder, who's very groovy.
Oh, really? What is the one that Rebel Wilson keeps advertising.
Oh, I don't know. That's passed me right by.
She's been advertising for something, which is interesting, right? Because she's like definitely made big headlines from dating men to now dating a woman, having a baby with a woman, having an entire life with a woman.
This is all news to me.
What?
I'm obviously not reading the right magazines.
Yeah. Keep up to date on the lesbian news. It's important.
Yeah. So according to the internet, Rebel Wilson wants to help people find the kind of love with no labels. The Pitch Perfect star talked to People magazine about launching her own new dating app called Fluid. There you are. I like that it's called Fluid, but I also feel like that's a pun you don't want.
Yeah, it honestly sounds like someone named it who is not in the queer community. Does
yeah.
that make sense?
Yeah. Well, she's new from what you're saying, so we all make mistakes. Yeah,
she's probably older in the community than I am, so I shouldn't talk too much shit. But yeah, wow. There I can't believe I brought you queer news. This is a big day for me.
Look, I'm not clued in. Like, I sometimes have to have that conversation if I'm dating someone who has like a sexuality label and I don't, where it's like I am in many ways functionally heterosexual. Like, there's just that you can't assume that I'm clued in. Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. I'll allow it.
Yeah, like, what do you mean functionally heterosexual? How do you do that with a man? And I'm like, well, you know, one of us wears a dress.
Functionally heterosexual.
Yeah, we make it work. I just mean that I think there's probably something in me about the having no label and just kind of very much doing my own thing in life, where much of how I was raised to date women and how to kind of behave in relationship settings, maybe the modeling from my parents, that kind of stuff, has carried over quite comfortably, irrespective of the gender of the partner I might be with.
Yeah, that's fair. That's totally fair. So wild how all of those things are created too. And like, I don't know. I think for me, I've been like really trying to dig into why it took me so long to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think representation had a lot more to do with it than I thought, of like what a lesbian looked like, sounded like, all of those kinds of things, and like the spectrum of what a lesbian can be versus just like one depicted kind. And I think that's definitely part of it. I don't know why I'm going off on this tangent, by the way.
Oh, that's interesting.
But I don't know. I think that's why the news around it is so like important to me in a way. Because Rebel Wilson is a hot ass comedian, a really, you know, successful one. And so to see her do that, I don't know. Like, I definitely, that was like a moment for me internally for sure.
Yeah. No, that's nice to hear. And I definitely see it in terms of representation. You know, my version of that was like genuinely, and it's weird to say out loud now with all I know, growing up not realizing that men could have eating disorders. That was a major part of me not realizing, and to an extent, as time went on, being able to hide from the reality of what I was going through. So, yeah, I definitely see that. And so as much as I joke, that's the best way I can explain something that I don't know another way of being. There's been a lot of things that have really kind of pulled my attention and where I've had to kind of really change and kind of develop who I am in the world. Sexuality hasn't been one of those. That's kind of been something that I figured out as I went along. And maybe it's just not as the forefront of my identity or experience in the world as maybe some people would assume, if it is more so for them. That is the most concise way I can explain something that I don't know any different of, you know? Like, I remember when I interviewed Bob the drag queen and I was like, oh, what's it like having never had a breakup, because they were in like their first two relationships at the time. And Bob, obviously, in like classic combative comedian persona that they have, was like, well, I don't know any different. Like, I could ask you, what's it like to never have a breakup, and you wouldn't know. It's the opposite of the same question. And I was like, all right, back to my notes.
Helped in that.
But yeah, I mean, there probably is an answer, which is, you know, you're around other people having breakups, and it might be strange to not know what that's like. But yeah, That's the end of my thought. All right. I have been doing some introspection. That's the next thing to tell you about. Okay. And it's been a big one because you know that I sort of came out of last season ready to go back to dating. And I very briefly did and very quickly retreated again. And I, you know, had that positive experience we talked about in the last episode of these, kind of related but also different. And, you know, since then, I had a big realization around, we've talked about on the pod, me being avoidant attachment-wise. And a part of that is like abandonment issues to do with childhood stuff and maybe just to an extent, just me as a human and who I am stuff. And I thought I'd worked on that stuff and figured more of it out than it turns out I have. So that's been, you know, when it's like, oh, something is clearer, but shit, I have to do a lot of work now. Those kind of realizations.
Oh, hell yeah. Damn. What was the light bulb moment?
I think it was just sort of, I can't figure out exactly what kind of got it. I think I was just pondering a lot in that area and it sort of clicked into place. And part of it was maybe re-examining the, like, that there is an established comfort with singledom. There's a feeling that often I'm most myself when I'm single. And is that to do with compromise? What is that about? You know, is that to do with feeling like I should change myself or put my best foot forward in the dating space? And it can be difficult to fully let people in. You know, this maybe this inclination you might relate to of, if you're good at performing, you're like, well, people laugh when I behave in this way, so maybe I give that version of myself. And a lot of that kind of tracked. And I think then I realized that the missing piece was, it's not just that you're comfortable being single, it's also that there's this risk that's tied to dating for you that not everyone has. That what if they leave? What if it's another person that leaves you? And that is the pattern I need to break out of. And I think until I figured that out, I think there's always going to be a part of me that's holding back, that's waiting for the fall, the plug to be pulled. And, you know, sometimes that's somebody breaking up with me, or sometimes that's me self-sabotaging myself because I don't feel safe in romantic relationships. And my first ever one was abusive, and maybe that's part of what's compounded that. Not caused it, but added to.
Yeah, of course. It would be weird if it didn't impact it.
Yeah, yeah. Got to give her the credit. All these years later, fucking decade. So yeah, that's where I'm at. So it's a bit of a deep thing, but it's something that I feel is manageable. And so I obviously was asked when I went to the speed dating event, they were like, oh, do you want to take part, you know, really experience it? And I was actually just very clear about, no, I'm actually like having a break. And that wouldn't feel ethical because I think, A, I should be taking a break. And B, if I go along with it just because I'm there for research, that also feels icky to, you know.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so for all the avoidance out there, when you say, I need to work on that, what does that actually look like for you?
I think it probably is going back to therapy and, you know, maybe going in with that very intentional thing of, I did a lot of great work with my previous therapist, and that feels like it's neatly wrapped up, that I got so much from that experience and maybe it's time for a kind of new chapter. And so perhaps going to someone that, not that that wasn't part of what we talked about, but specifically kind of going in, starting afresh with somebody new and maybe somebody that has a specialism in relationship realms. And yeah, just going in with that, okay, this is what I'm here for. Because the good news is pretty content in my life and there's a lot that I'm pleased with and that's going well. And like a lot of people, this is kind of a big point of, you know, would my life be even better if? And whilst I don't feel I have to have a relationship, this realization makes me feel like there's something that would stop me having one. And I don't like the feeling of that it might be ruled out for me right now.
Yeah, it's giving like very Taylor Swift, the problem is me vibes.
Yeah, and sometimes we need to say...
And like, honestly, any true insight is the problem is you. Like, even if it is the other person's behavior, it is you who is allowing them to treat you in this way. And like, how motivating to know this is in your control. How motivating to know like all you have to do is focus on it and work on it. And like, nothing is going to stand in between you and that but you.
Yeah.
Like, there's something that's really motivating there. And like, I don't know, I'm a control freak, clearly, if you can't hear all of the sentences I just said. But like, to have that power back, like, I think that.
Yeah, you're literally like, I'm the problem. Yay.
Thank God.
Oh, dear.
I mean, when I have control over, so like, it's more infuriating to watch like a train wreck that you can't stop than it is to like, I don't know, be in the captain's seat and be like, oh, I guess I should slow down a bit.
Yeah. So here's hoping. And I don't know what the timeline on that is. You know, it's definitely a kind of, okay, received. So yeah, it's definitely a post-Christmas thing. My calendar is pretty full and I feel good emotionally, but I don't know if now's the time to really kind of crack that open. So yeah, you know, schedule in the healing.
I think that is maturity, you know?
Ugh, I think, am I a grown-up?
When you see that insight and you're like, okay, dang, I know what I need to change now. I want to get right the F to it, not checking in with myself if it's even a good time or like any of those things. So good on you for scheduling that. That's amazingly insightful about yourself. And like, I think it says a lot about how badly you want to take this seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I appreciate you saying that. One other bit of news, which is not a coincidence I've saved to last because I'm a little nervous to tell you. I've made a decision with the podcast. I think this is going to be our last season.
Our last season?
I know. Well, I'll tell you why, and then you give me all your thoughts, please. I'm feeling like it's kind of run its course. And I think part of that might be that I've sort of had a lot of the conversations I was dying to have, kind of had a lot of my dream guests and interviews. And I think it's a really solid catalogue of work. And I've not had that many projects in my life where there's been a clear kind of, and now it's time to wrap it up. So I'm inclined to sort of lean into this and be like, oh, it would be nice. You know, it doesn't trail off. It doesn't kind of change tracks. It's like, no, we set out to achieve a thing. And I mean, by the end of this season, it'll be what, like 150 plus episodes? It's not insignificant.
Not in the least. Not in the least. No, I think that's beautiful of knowing when to wrap something up and like, not taking anything away from how beautiful it is because it has an ending.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And so, yeah, it would be this coming summer, you know, when we'd normally pause for a season break and we'll have to do some kind of big finale episode and maybe we'll come back to it one day. I did really enjoy interviewing the couple that hosts the speed dating event. I was like, oh, it's so fun always whenever I interview two people to see their dynamic play out and kind of capture that. And yeah, particularly to interview a couple. So maybe there's a future pod where we kind of get into the like, we've done dating. Now we look at more specifically when you're in the relationship.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, how great to switch topics and pick something else like you want to dive into. I think the reason people listen to this is because it's so fun to hear you learning about stuff and asking question. So I think, you know, it might be the end to this specific one, but it's not the last that we'll hear from you by any means.
Yeah, there you go. Well, good on you. All right. So you've taken that very well, which is good because I was like, it's bittersweet, right, to wrap something up. But do you also feel it's kind of like time? You know, you've been involved with this for 1.5 seasons already, excluding this one.
I think it's interesting, right? Because like, this is your baby. And so no one else can know when the right time is but you.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have never jumped on this phone and thought that that was what you were going to tell me. But now once you're saying it out loud, it makes complete sense. And you're doing it from a place of like peace and you're softly closing the book and like, what better way to be able to walk away from such a successful project?
Thank you. And I'm also giving the listeners loads of notice because I've had a few podcasts I love that have wrapped up and they tell you like 1 or 2 episodes before. And then I'm mad. I literally have, so Jo Firestone, if you know her, one of my all-time favorite comics. And I'm obsessed with her delivery. Like I can't mimic it because it's so distinctly her. She had a podcast where she recaps the last 24 hours of someone's day with them. And it's just really silly. And it's totally made by her just being surprised and fascinated in everything. You know, like they have a burrito and she needs to know every ingredient. And no one else could host that show. And so, yeah, she announced that it had come to an end. It wasn't renewed. And I still have never listened to the last episode because I'm still mad. And I'm like, I don't want it to end. And now it's been too long. So now I need to go back and wrap that up. So, yeah, the listeners can have this season and the many, many months we still have to go and be like, oh.
I just feel like, wow, it's new beginnings on so many fronts for you.
I know. It's wild. And so on that bombshell, maybe it's time to wrap up and then we'll chat again many times, I'm sure, before this all wraps up anyway. We'll see where we'll end up. Maybe we'll get to the summer and we'll both be booed up. Stranger things have happened. And see how good this therapist is.
No spoiler alert, but at the end of this, Bobby and I end up together, okay?
Could you imagine? Yeah, I just come on with a thick Texas accent out of nowhere and I'm like, look guys, it was gonna happen.
We all knew it. We all predicted it from episode one, okay?
There we go. I mean, I could do a hell of a lot worse. So yeah, watch this space. On that note, let's wrap up there. Thank you. You're a delight.
Okay. Love you. Miss you. Talk to you soon.
Love you too.
Thanks for listening.
For the full experience, you can join our subscription on Apple Podcasts to access extended ad-free episodes. Our show is edited and produced by Pete Murta.
The music is Digital Damaged by me, Emma Becco.
We're proud to be an independent production.
And leaving a quick review is another way to support the show.
Speak to you next Friday. Until then, good luck out there.